Good morning, church. First Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord God called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling it, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall onto the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jacqueline, for reading a large portion of Scripture. By the way, that's the most important part of our service every week is our Scripture reading. That's the only thing that's completely infallible without any mistakes. Michael make a mistake every now and then. I make a mistake quite regularly, but God's Word never does, and so it's God's Word that matters, and so that's the most important thing. Thank you for standing. Thank you for honoring the reading of God's Word. Thank you, Jacqueline, for doing it so well. And what about Peyton, man, saying the word plethora, right? I mean, I never thought a guy from Auburn even knew that word that graduated from Auburn, but it's football season. Got to start the jokes early, right? By the way, it's football season, right? I mean, man, I am, it's back. I am giddy. Man, I feasted all day on football yesterday and can't wait to watch it today. And, watching football now is a little bit different than when I was a boy, right? I mean, when I was a boy, I grew up in the mountains of East Tennessee, and cable was a thing that held a light pole up. Streaming was going down the creek and hanging out. I mean, we had an antenna, and we could pick up maybe three channels, and those three channels, two of them were snowy because of the mountains. So our viewing options were really limited, but yesterday, man, I can watch like a plethora of games in crystal clear HD. I mean, four at one time on my screen with the computer with football on it on my table, right? I mean, man, you could watch football forever, and the way you watch is so exciting, but it's not just the way you watch. The whole game is so different today, right? I mean, Man, when I was a boy, it was like a wishbone, 3 yards, cloud of dust, very boring. And now it's high octane, up tempo. I mean, it's 100 miles an hour. It's so fast that, you know, the coach used to grab a player, tell him to play, run him in. And now, man, the coach, it's happening so fast, the coach has to signal the plays from the sideline, giving the opposing coach opportunity to steal the signals. So what he does is you're liable to see like 6-8 people calling plays, right? I mean, they're holding up signs of pops, you know, rock stars and pop icons, and man, they're calling plays, and the whole deal is to confuse the opposing coaches so that no one will know what's going on. But the deal is the quarterback's got like a lot of people giving him information. He's got a lot of people telling him what to do, and so he has to know which one is giving him the correct info or it's going to lead to disaster, right? I mean, that's exactly what Jacqueline just read to you, really, in 1 Samuel chapter 3. That's what it's all about. I mean, you literally, folks, have millions of voices giving you information on an hourly, momentary. I mean, man, you got social media. You've got all kind of notifications on your telephone. You've got friends, and you've got school classmates. You've got, man, everything on the internet. You've got so many voices giving you information, and you better determine which one is giving you good, helpful, correct info, or it's going to end in disaster for you. Now, I've broken 1 Samuel chapter 3 into 3 points, basically, and this is an incredible story. I'm going to story it a little bit. It's a lot of info, so we're going to give you 3 points so that you can sort of get your mind around it here, and we're calling the 3 points that I've broken down to is the king's call, the king's commission, and the king's commendation. So let's look first at the king's call. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the second part of that, B, if you will, the end, it says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. That's a sad statement. That's a statement that we don't want to hear. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Now, society and at this time had gone off of the spiritual and moral rails. It says that everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Even the priests were swimming in the moral toilet, if you will, as Eli's boys, Hophni and Phinehas, they were making a mockery, a sacrilege of the sacrifices that people would bring. They were entitled to a portion because God had gave them that. But not just any portion they wanted. They could take specific portions, but they were taking the best portions. They were taking, man, the New York strip and the prime. I mean, they were taking the prime cuts of the meat and as much as they wanted, and they're taking it by force if people didn't want to give it to them. They were so disrespecting the sacrificial system. On top of that, they were committing adultery. They were using their position as leaders to have sex with the women who worked in the temple, and they were just off the rails, and Eli knew about all this. He had heard about it. The people were talking about it throughout the community. As people were talking, the word got to Eli, and at least he confronted them. I mean, he went to them, and he said, boys, what are you doing? You're getting a bad reputation. Everybody's talking about this, and it's not good. Would you please stop? So that was good that he confronted them, but he didn't do anything about it. See, he had this gentle parenting before gentle parenting was a thing philosophy, right, which is disastrous. And so he let them. It actually says that he honored his boys more than he honored God. In other words, he loved them more than he loved God. He took the easy route as parents. Listen, folks, it's easy to say something but not do anything about what your kids are doing. It's hard. It's hard to stay in the battle with your kids, but parents, you must stay in the battle. Eli did not stay in the battle. He honored God. He honored his kids above God. He loved his kids above God, and more than God. And the whole world, you can imagine, as the leader goes, so goes the society, right? So you can imagine what it looked like. You can imagine it really well because we see it a lot today. You can imagine what it looked like when the whole society was doing what was right in their own eyes. Man, there's a moral cesspool going on, right? I mean, it's off the rails. They're walking away from God. They're not following God. They're not following God's word. But in the midst of all of this, faithlessness, in the midst of all of this moral corruption, you had one dude, one guy who remained faithful in a faithless world. And here's the thing, teenagers, he was a teenager. Here's the thing, in all this world, and all this moral chaos going on, and all, it was one guy who was stood strong and faithful in a faithless world, and it was a teenager. His name was Samuel. His name was Samuel, and he says when the world was going to hell in a handbasket, he remained faithful ministering to the Lord. That's what it says. He remained faithful ministering to the Lord, a 14-year-old kid. Now, folks, are you remaining faithful in a chaotic world, in a world that seems to be going downhill fast? Are you remaining faithful? Faithfulness is so key to this whole story of Samuel. He was basically Eli's intern. His job was not, it seemingly, very important to him. It was taking care of the articles of the temple. It was very important, but it was just taking care of articles of the temple, and he kept, you know, getting more and more responsibility the older he got and the more faithful that he presented himself, and faithful he was. And it made all the difference in the world to put him in a position to hear the call of God. That's what we see through Scripture, isn't it? I mean, that's what we see. If you think about Moses, Moses never had an ambition to go to Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world, who held God's people in captivity as slaves. He never had an ambition to go and bring them out and to be one of the greatest leaders the world has ever seen. That wasn't his ambition. He was just faithfully a servant, faithfully serving his father Jethro by shepherding his sheep. And he was doing his job faithful, and God called him. Are you faithful? I mean, Joseph, he never had an ambition to be the number two power broker in the most powerful nation in the world. He was just faithfully serving a man named Potiphar. He was faithfully serving his master, a man named Potiphar, until Potiphar's wife, a woman scorned, falsely accused him of trying to seduce her, and then he had him thrown into prison. And even in prison, he never had any ambitions. He was just faithfully serving the jailer, to the point that they gave him more and more keys to the jailhouse, basically. And I mean, he was just faithfully serving, and God made him the number two man in the most powerful nation in the world. David never really had ambitions of being the greatest king in history. He never had any ambitions. That was not his career goal, was to be a man, the greatest king. He was just faithfully shepherding his father's sheep and making an Uber Eats run for his dad to his brothers on the front line. He was just being faithful in all he did. And God raised him up to the greatest king the world has ever known. I mean, Samuel had no ambition of being the very first prophet to hold the office of prophet in the history of Israel. That was not his career goal. He was just faithfully serving in the temple. He was faithfully doing his job faithfully. All these men are examples of the biblical principle of, if you will be faithful in the small things, God will entrust you with great things. If you're faithful in the small things, God will entrust you with great things. How can God trust you with something great if we're not even faithful in our prayer, in our quiet time, in our Bible reading, in our church attendance? If we're not faithful in the small things, how can God trust us with something great? Folks, what we see in Samuel is he received a call from God, and a massive part of that call from God to do something incredible was that he was just faithful in the little things. Are you putting yourself in a position to hear the call of God by your faithfulness? Put yourself in a position to hear God's call, because it's the most important call you will ever receive. By far. Many of you know our adoption story here that's played out very, you know, publicly here in our church, and many of you know that. And, you know, Amy come to me and said, we need to adopt a little girl from China. I believe God's calling us to do that. And I said, well, God hadn't called me. I mean, I hadn't heard no ring at all, no. And she said, pray about it. I said, absolutely not. I'm not praying about it. make no mistake. And so, you know, she kept talking to the Lord, and one day I was having my quiet time. God got my attention. He began to speak to me through people, through circumstances, through his word, show me pop scripture was popping up everywhere. I mean, people through the church, God began to speak to me, and I was, you know, dense, and I was trying to say no, God. I was trying to stiff arm what God was saying. I was trying to screen God's call, right? But God kept calling, and so I started praying, and I'm like, Lord, what if this is what you want me to do? And one day I was in my quiet time, and I said, Lord, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do this if it's your will. But it's massive. Lord, I want to be emptiness so bad. But if that's what you want, doesn't make any sense to me. But if that's what you want, I will. I will. I just need confirmation. Folks, I kid you not. I've got this all journal. As soon as I said those words, my phone rang. I just need confirmation, Lord, my phone rang. Now, I would not answer my phone typically in my quiet time because nobody that can call me, no one, including the President of the United States, is not as important as the person I'm talking to. So I would not answer my phone typically unless, you know, maybe if it's my wife or one of my kids, I just want to make sure nothing's wrong. But I didn't know the number. The number, it was not there. And I said, I'm not answering. I put it down, and the Lord compelled me to answer my phone. I didn't know why. I answered the phone. It was a woman on the line, and she said, Pat? I said, yeah. She said, this is Mary Beth Chapman, Stephen Curtis's wife. And as soon as she said that, I was completely silent. I knew exactly. She said, I want to talk to you about adopting a little girl from China. I had just prayed, God, I just need confirmation. And I was silent. I didn't say any word. And she kept, Pat? I said, you've got to be kidding me. And so she talked to me, and she said, I told her the story, and she started laughing, and she said, listen, we believe that this is God's plan for you, that God worked through you. She said, and adoption's expensive. You know that. Some of you are adopting right now. She said, if you will adopt, Stephen, I'll give you $10,000 right now. And I was like, okay, let me pray about it. I just need some confirmation. Obviously, three later, they're sitting right over here. God called us to adopt, and he made that very crystal clear, and it's one of the most important calls I've ever received in my life was that call. What's some of the most important calls you ever received? You remember a call. Maybe it was a call for a job. What you've all received some important calls. That was one of the most important calls I have ever received, but it's not the most important call I've ever received. You see, the most important call I've ever received was when God called me to salvation. That was the most important call I've ever received. In chapter 2, verse 12, it says that the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. Remember that from last week? They were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. In 3:7, it talks about Samuel. It says, now Samuel did not know the Lord, did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now that sounds very similar. It says that Eli's sons did not know the Lord. They were worthless. They did not know the Lord. And it says that Samuel in chapter 3 did not know the Lord yet. There's one major difference as similar as that sounds. The major difference is one little word, the word yet. It says Eli's sons did not know the Lord. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. You see, there's one massive word that's different. And, you know, there's a lot of people in our world today that you know that do not know the Lord. Most people do not know the Lord. We know that. Most people don't know the Lord in our world. But then there are some who do not know the Lord yet. Okay, the difference is the call of God. That's the difference. You see, the difference is the call of God. I mean, God has put a general call of salvation to everyone. It's open to everyone. I mean, everyone in the world, that call, God's general call of salvation is open to the whole world. Right? But here's the problem. The Bible says that before we are saved, we're dead. That's what the Bible says. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. Actually, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, here's what Paul said. when he's talking about our pre-conversion life, before Christ, our BC days, if you will, he said, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He says you were dead. He didn't say you were asleep. He says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, dead means dead, spiritually dead. As someone is physically dead, you can be physically dead and spiritually dead, right? I mean, and so Paul's talking about spiritual death. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, here's the thing. A dead person cannot respond when you call them, right? You go down to the cemetery and you just start yelling all you want and nobody's going to respond. And if they do, run. I mean, run. Call Ghostbusters, right? That's something. You can go down to the cemetery and you can begin yelling and nobody's going to respond because dead people can't hear you. Dead people can't respond. And that's what the Bible says, that we are spiritually. We are dead, so therefore we cannot respond. A dead person, you know, I mean, he doesn't start giving himself CPR, giving himself mouth to mouth. He can't do that. You know, people, their heart has flatlined and, man, they have been brought back, but it takes an external influence to bring that person back. Dead people can't respond to stimuli. Well, spiritually dead people, the Bible says we're spiritually dead. That means we're dead. We cannot respond. See, that's the problem. The general call goes out. It's open to everyone, but we're dead. The Bible also says not only are we dead, it says that we're blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4 says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We're spiritually dead. Paul says we're spiritually blind. We cannot see. Our eyes are blinded to see the truth. Our ears are stopped up from hearing the truth. And unless the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, comes upon us and helps us to see, this is the call of God. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, brings conviction, opens your eyes to see, begins to breathe life into your soul as he breathed life into Adam's soul. When God calls, he opens our eyes and he breathes life into our souls and allows us to submit to him. That's the call of God. This is why Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's exactly what Jesus meant. No one can come to me. The call goes out. The call's free to your grandmama that's lost, to your daddy, to everybody in Africa and Asia and North America and South America and on every continent. The gospel call goes out. It goes out. It's free to everyone. But listen, folks, we're spiritually dead. We're spiritually blind. We cannot see. No one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father draws him. That's the call of God. That's the call of God upon our lives. The call for salvation, right? This is the most important call I've ever received. It was the most important call I ever received was when God opened my eyes, when the Holy Spirit brought conviction into my life. When he began to breathe life into my soul, that's the most important call. God's calling some of you right now. Matter of fact, he's been calling some of you, like Samuel. Like Samuel. You know, he calls Samuel here. I love the way the story unfolds because we see God call Samuel three times. And I love this because it says that, you know, I mean, Samuel's like, he didn't get it. And what is this? I mean, he calls Samuel three times. The first time Samuel gets up, he hears him in the middle of the night. It's not yet morning. It's probably the way it's written, it says that the lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out, and he would sleep in front of the lamp of the Lord because it had to burn all night, the candelabra and the candle had to burn all night. And so it says that it had not yet gone out. Gives us an indication it's probably early in the wee hours of the morning before dawn, and Samuel he hears a voice, and he gets up, and he says, I think it's Eli. He thought Eli had called him, so he runs to where Eli was, and he said, hey, you call me? And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed, son. So Eli goes back to bed. Second time, God says, Samuel. He calls his voice and calls his name. Samuel gets up again, and he goes to Eli, and he says, you call me? And Eli said, boy, I didn't call you, man. You're dreaming. Go back to bed. Leave me alone, right? And so the third time he hears it, Eli gets up again. He goes to Samuel, and he said, you call me. And Samuel, at this time, he realizes what's going on. He's a priest, and he's not doing his job well. He's off the rails a little bit. He's let his sons go amok. But I believe that Eli was a man who loved the Lord. He just was a weak in his leadership. And so he realized what was going on. He said, hey, hold on a minute, son. The next time, go lay down. And if you hear this voice again, then you say, speak, Lord, for your servant listens. He realized God was calling Samuel. He realized God was coming. I love the way the Lord played this out, because it shows us that Samuel was faithful, and he was just doing his faithful duties, and God called him, and it shows a persistence. See, some of you, God called you, and immediately you were like, yes. Some of you, man, you know, God's been calling, and he's been calling you through your circumstances. And you're like, I don't know what this is. I'm investigating. Well, I don't know what this is. It's getting your attention. God's been getting your attention. He's been waking you up spiritually. That's what he was doing to Samuel. He was waking Samuel up, right? And so maybe it's your circumstances, and you're like, I don't know. Something's going on. What is this? And then maybe it's through people in your life, and you're like, I don't know, man. God's calling some of you like he called Eli. He's calling some of you. And some of you just need to stop and say, speak, Lord. Your servant listens. It's time for you to stop screening your calls and answer the call of God to salvation. Some of you watching online, it's time to stop screening your calls and answer God's call to salvation. Right? But the call to salvation isn't the only call the king makes. He puts many calls upon our life. He called me to salvation, praise God. Without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, without God moving in my life, opening my eyes, breathing life into my soul, drawing me, as Jesus said, I could not be saved. He calls, it's out, and there's a call that's coming to you, and some of you need to answer that call. But listen, there are many more calls. God, so that's for those of you who are unbelievers, but those of you who are believers, God still calls. Many calls upon my life that's crystal clear. I remember God clearly called me to marry Amy Nunley at that time. Clearly called that to happen. Didn't make sense. Clearly call of God, right? I mean, couldn't have been any more clear. God called us to vocational ministry. Man, I thought I was going to be a football coach. It's what I wanted to be. I really wanted to be a football coach. That's what I was going to school to be. And God said, no, this is what I want you to do. A clear call. God called us to adopt. I talk about that. A clear call. Didn't make any sense to me, but it was a clear call from God. Makes perfect sense now. God called us to this church. 31 years ago, I graduated from seminary. 31. I started when I was like 10. I was a savant. You know, I was one of these early, you know, kids that went to school and, you know. 31 years ago, I graduated seminary. I had all kind of job opportunities, to be honest. And I think, to be honest with you, probably had 10 churches trying to get us to come be their student pastor all over. And this was, I mean, folks, this was the lowest paying church there was, I think, in all honesty. I'm going to tell you this story. This is so crazy. We came here, interviewed, and I went back to Texas. It was Thanksgiving weekend in 93. I went back to Texas. Went to see my family, then went back to Texas. The guy who was on staff here that we interviewed, not the pastor, but the guy who's with him, called me and said, I wouldn't come to this church. I'm leaving. This church is never going to do anything. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I hung up, told Amy, you ain't going to believe what just happened. I had probably 10 other churches, a lot more money, and I got a guy calling me saying, do not come to this place. This church is never going to do anything. Lord said, go. She and I both, go. And I went, well, that don't make sense, Lord. He just talked. Well, this is crazy. God's call sometimes crazy. He said, go. We came. Man, it was tough. I thought, boy, he was right. I should listen to that guy. First 6 months, I told Amy, listen, I'm sorry I brought you here. If you'll give me 1 year, give us 1 year. I'm not going to do these people that way, but we'll get out of here. In that 1 year, God said, you ain't going anywhere. You're staying right here. You're staying right here. God called us to stay right here. I'm like, what? That's the call of God. And look what, that's the call of God. God has called me. Last year, God called me very clearly to pop the question to ask Anna Lou to marry me. I mean, it was so clear. It was clear to her the day I met her. I mean, man, she tried to talk me into that, and I said, no, I'm listening to God, not you. I mean, she's a little Mexican crazy. And when I said, okay, God's called me, man, she started rolling that R's then, you know. God calls, God's calling some of you today. He's calling some of you to vocational ministry. Hey, he called, not all of you, not all of you, but he's calling some of you to vocational ministry. He's calling some of you to pop the question, maybe, right? He's calling some of you to get out of a relationship, maybe. He's calling some of you to reconcile a relationship. He's calling some of you to repent of something. He's calling some of you to take another job, but he's calling some of you to not take another job. Here's one of the greatest, throughout my years of ministry, man, I see people move for jobs and take jobs and move for jobs and whether it's here, there. And man, if God calls you, it doesn't matter if it's less money, it doesn't matter, you go. Listen, I know, you go. If God calls you to another job, and I believe you, then you go. But here's the thing, do not let money call you to that job. Some of the people that's made the biggest mistakes are people that took a raise to move to another state or to go over here. And I gave up something you can't buy, a community and a church, for just a tad bit more money or a little bit more or even a lot of money. It wasn't worth it. If God calls, it doesn't matter. God's calling some of you today to salvation. You need to answer that call. But God's calling some of you today to do something. How does God call? How do I know God's calling? Well, God speaks. He speaks to us. He speaks primarily through his word. That's why I said the word's the most important thing we do. His word, he speaks through his word. That's why it's important that you're in the word. He does speak through people. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through the church. He speaks through these things. But all those things have to align with the word, okay? And so God's speaking to some of you today. He's calling some of you to salvation, and it's time for you to say yes. And he's calling some of you to do something, and I don't know what it is, and it may be crazy. It may be sell out, quit a good job, and move to a part of the world that doesn't even have a Starbucks. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, it does. Starbucks is terrible. But, I mean, bitter coffee, crazy. But anyway, God's calling some of you. What's he calling you to do? Are you going to answer? It's time to stop screening your calls. So we see God's call in Samuel. Samuel, he called him. He opened his ears to hear him because it says he did not yet know the Lord. The Lord had not yet spoke to him. And then we see the king's call. We see the king's commission. 1 Samuel 3:11-13. Says this, then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Wow, he was punishing Eli's house for what Eli's sons did. That's called a sin of commission. But he punished Eli's house because of what Eli didn't do. He did nothing. That's called a sin of omission, right? And so you see a commission. Now, the word commission means to entrust. That's what the word commission means. It means to entrust. God commissioned. He entrusted Samuel, he entrusted Samuel with a very important message. He commissioned him to give this message. And it was a heavy message for anyone, let alone a 13, 14-year-old dude. We're talking about a 13, 14-year-old dude that gets a commission to take a message to someone that would have been very hard for the most seasoned veteran to give. I mean, it wasn't a message that, hey, a drought's coming, go tell Eli. It wasn't even the British are coming. That wasn't the message. It was judgment's coming, old boy, on you. Man, nobody likes confrontation, but God just gave Samuel a commission to tell Eli that judgment's coming. Judgment is coming on your house because of what your sons have done and because of what you didn't do. Judgment is coming because of your sin. Folks, God's given us the same commission. Did you know that? He's given us the same commission with the exact same message. It's called the Great Commission, actually. The Great Entrustment. God has entrusted this message to all who believe in him. That's why God opens our eyes and breathes life into our souls. Not so that we can, not because we're good, because we're not, but because God's good. Not because we're special, but because God is special. He breathes life into our souls so that we can take a message to the world. That call, we can take a message. Matthew 28:19 says, it's in many places in Scripture, actually. The most famous is probably Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We call that the Great Commission. But it's also in Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. You see, we've been entrusted with a message to give to the world, the message of good news of salvation. And that's a good news, but it's also a message that judgment's coming. We've been entrusted to tell the world that judgment is coming, that sin carries a price and sin must be paid for, and that price is death. And either you will pay for your sin for all of eternity or Jesus paid for it on the cross for you. But it will be paid for. Your sin has a price, and that price will be paid, and it was either paid by Jesus. See, I won't pay the price for my sin. And that's the great news. See, the bad news is judgment's coming, Eli. Judgment's coming, America. Judgment is coming. Our sin has a price, and it will be paid for. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. I don't pay for my sin. Jesus did. That's so good, and that's called the grace of God. Did Jesus pay for my sin because I deserved it? I promise I didn't deserve it. Because I was good? No. Because I'm special? No. It's because of his grace. That's the good news. That's the message that we've been entrusted to give. That's why we're a sending church, because as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. We're called a sending church because we want to send you as God has sent us. We're sending you with the gospel. We do send people to Brussels. We do send people to Bangkok. We do send people to Brazil. We send people all over the world, but we send you to Smyrna, Laverne, Murfreesboro, wherever your job is, wherever your life is, wherever, in every domain of your life, you are sent to carry this message. You're commissioned by the Father. You're commissioned. You're entrusted with this, believer. And it's not for super Christians. It's not for preachers. It's not for, high-level disciples. It's for everybody who's a believer. Everybody who claims the name of Jesus, you've been entrusted with this message. You've been called. You've been commissioned. You've been called and you've been commissioned. Now, we're commissioned to take the gospel, but we're also commissioned to call believers who wander back to the table. Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Powerful punch right there. It talks about, man, when believers go awry, man, how we feel about them as we share the truth with them. We speak the truth. And man, we're not afraid of them saying, you can't judge me. And you always say, if it's the truth from the word, you say, no, I'm not judging you. The Bible's judging you, not me. I'm just pointing out where the Bible's judging you. But at the same point, you guard your heart so that you don't say, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. Because you better protect yourself unless you're tempted, right? But here's the call. The call is for us to go after, leave the 99 and go after the one. Go after, the call is that we go after the lost sheep. We go after and take the gospel to those who are lost, but we also go after those who are wandering. Man, we see it all too often. We've all been the one who wanders, probably. I have been the one who wandered. And we're called to go to that brother. We're called to go to that brother gently and call them back. That's our brother. That's our sister. They need to be brought back. We need to pursue them. We need to go after them. That's your brother and sister in Christ. We're called to bring them back to the table. So we have this gospel call, this commission. We have this commission to go to bring a wandering brother back. That's what we see in this whole 1 Samuel 3. Man, we see a call of God. We see a commission of God, and man, we see a commendation that God gave to Samuel. Here it is, 19:20. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. You see what's happening? I mean, in a world that was faithless, wicked, in the spiritual toilet, you had one dude who was faithful in a faithless world. You had one dude who heard the call and answered the call. He was given a commission, and he responsibly gave the message that he was entrusted to give. And what does God do? God lets the whole world know who this guy is. He lets the whole world know. His words don't fall to the ground. He's commending Samuel. Why? Because Samuel was something great? No, God didn't honor greatness. He honored faithfulness. Why? Because he was something, he was intelligent. No, we don't know that. We don't hear that at all. He was a teenage boy who was faithfully serving the Lord. And he was commended for it. You know, in our world today, we focus too much on greatness, and we focus because of our athlete and because of our pop star and because of our, you know, movie star, because of the celebrity mentality that we have. We most too often focus on, man, somebody's talents and their abilities, and God just simply is looking at, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. God's not going to commend someone who's highly intelligent. Who made them highly intelligent? God. God's not going to commend someone who has massive skill for athletics. Who gave them that skill? God. God's not going to commend someone who has an amazing ability to speak, an orator. Who gave them that ability? God. Let me tell you what God's going to commend. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful. Are you faithful? Are you putting yourself in a position to hear God's call? He's looking for the faithful. Jacqueline McMean read our word today. Man, that's a faithful servant. Peyton, she's been here for years, faithfully serving the Lord, her and her husband. Faithfully serving the Lord in our church, as a school teacher, faithfully serving the Lord. I look around at some of you, faithful servants. So here's the call. God is calling some of you today to salvation. Watching online, in the room. If he's calling you online, you're like, man, I need to find out what this is. Text the word Jesus to the number on the screen, and we'll be in touch with you in the room. We want to talk to you today. Man, like Eli, we want to help you process that's the Lord and how you need to answer the Lord. That's what Eli did. That's not us. It's the Lord, and we want to help you process what that means. Come and talk to us, would you please? Some of you today, you need to answer the call to a lot of different things. I don't know what God's calling you to, ministry, vocationally. We're all called to ministry, but vocational as a vocation, to repent of something, to reconcile with someone, to get out of a relationship, to get in a relationship, job-wise, career path, finances. What's God calling you to do that you need to talk to your spouse about if you're married, and that you need to really talk to the Lord about if you're not? What's God calling you to do? And folks, today, I want to challenge you to be faithful. Put yourself in a position to hear the call of God and to hear the commendation of God. Would you do that? I'm gonna ask us to pray, and Michael's gonna come, our band, and lead us in a time of response. And we're gonna sing a couple of songs and until our time's out. And Michael's gonna, as he leads us, God's calling you to salvation, man. You can come back and see us in the back, online, text us. If he's calling you to do something that we need to help you with, let us know. Ask God right now what he's calling you to do. If he's called you to salvation, thank him for his grace and his call upon your life and how you can be faithful in serving the God who's called. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your grace. Help today people to answer the call of salvation. God, I pray that people would answer that call, the call to whatever you're calling people to do today, which is manifold. I pray that you would call them to serve you. Call them to be faithful. Lord, I pray that today you would help people to answer the call. Thank you for the faithful in this room that I know will be commended as they hear, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen.